time for us to end this hierarchy of who has the right to live, who deserves not to suffer. As an indigenous person, the fur trade represents so much more to me than just animal abuse. It represents cultural genocide.
That is, police summarize, there were 6 or 8 in the raiding party.
It was racist, but we would not know about the terrible.
These kinds of actions are going to be more and more frequent.
Every laboratory briefing comes from information from inside the lab, and someone who works there who's been comparing the animals' brain.
But they found the animals sick and heavy, unable to use their arms and legs. No food or medical care.
Broken bones.
Fingers and toes torn off.
14 of the 2 dozen protesters have blocked the entrance of the
house. That's why the objectionists say the animals have been taken to an undisclosed location at a state.
We want the public to learn the truth, but our government is operating compensating animals.
Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Lauren Corman, here with Lamy attacking for us today.
Hello, hello.
I want to send all of our listeners some good vibes for you today.
Sorry, I missed what you just said.
I just want our listeners to send you some good vibes today.
Some
love and vibes. Today's program I'm really excited about. At the beginning of the hour, we're going to hear from Holly Larson, and she's going to tell us about the Toronto Walk for Farm Animals, which is sponsored, I guess, through or created through the Farm Sanctuary Organization, which is an organization that protects and shelters abandoned or rescued farm animals. And they're located in California and New York, and we rave about them on the show, and this is a chance to get involved with the organization and get some pledges and to do a walk for farm animals. So we're going to find out more about that from Holly. And then at about 11:15, we're going to connect to Marley Winkler, who is a woman from Brazil, who's been really actively involved in the vegetarian and animal rights movements for a really long time now. She's got amazing credentials, which I'll talk about a little bit closer to the interview, but she's translated Animal Liberation by Peter Singer. She's the president of the Vegetarian Society of Brazil, as well as many other different organizations, and she's kind of a huge bigwig in Brazil, so I'm really excited to talk to her and find out more about living vegetarian in Brazil and the animal rights movement there, as well as some of the conditions facing animals in Brazil. So we're going to go right on with Holly, and then we'll hear about the Walk for Farm Animals. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Lauren.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Are you feeling okay about the interview?
My anxiety panics are going away.
Okay, good. That's good. So tell us about a little bit about who you are and
sure.
What the Walk for Farm Animals is all about.
Okay. My name's Holly Larson, and I have a partner with me for the walk, for Toronto Farm Animals, and her name is Julie Keis. We're the co-coordinators for the Toronto Walk for Farm Animals this year. So I guess I'll start a little bit off with maybe a background on Farm Sanctuary, who the walk is for, and then maybe, I guess, a little bit about the walk and maybe details of the walk. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So Farm Sanctuary, some people don't know, but Farm Sanctuary is the largest nonprofit farm animal and rescue and advocacy organization in North America, and was founded in 1986 by Jean and Lori Boustin. They currently have 2 shelters, one in Watkins Glen, New York, and one in Orland, California, where they have approximately 1,000 farm animals under their sanctuary's care. And the Farm Sanctuary rescues, rehabilitates, and provides lifelong care for hundreds of animals rescued from factory farms, stockyards, and slaughterhouses. In addition to that, they operate shelters where they work to gain legal protection for animals used in food production and to raise public awareness about factory farm cruelty and cruelty-free alternatives. So the walks are to focus attention on the current Farm Sanctuary campaign issues, which include their foie gras, downed animals, steel crates, and gestation crates for pigs issues.
Have you ever been there?
Oh, yes, yeah, but 4 times.
Oh, really? And this is one in New York you went to?
Right, yeah. I actually went down with about 20 other Canadians this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went down just with one other friend.
Oh, did you?
It's a pretty amazing place.
Did you go for the hoedown? Or?
No, we didn't go for the hoedown. We just went on a rainy weekend.
Oh.
And we just decided to go down because I'd never been down there before. But it's really quite incredible. You know, you talk about what these sanctuaries do, and then to actually be there and to see the animals. It really, I don't use the term heartwarming very often or the term so rejuvenating at all. But those are the terms that definitely came to mind when I was there. It's awesome to see these animals thrive. Thriving in more natural conditions.
Definitely, yeah. That's how I'm pretty sure that's how we all felt when we went down too.
Yeah. So you obviously believe in Farm Sanctuary quite a bit. You're willing to do some coordinating for them.
Well, this is my first year coordinating the walk, or co-coordinating the walk, where Julie Keist, the co-coordinator, she coordinated the walk on her own last year.
Okay.
So, yes, yeah, I definitely believe in the organization. They're
okay, so tell us about the walk.
Okay, well, for the Toronto Walk for Farm Animals, that will be taking place on Sunday, October 2nd, and that's in honor of World Farm Animals Day. And it'll be starting at 12 p.m. noon, whether rain or shine. The walk location is in Ashbridges Bay Park, Picnic Area 2, which is in the Toronto beaches by the lake.
Okay.
And there was already a pre-registration deadline, which was Friday, September 16th. So for those people who did pre-register and paid the $10 fee before the deadline date, they will receive their free pre-ordered T-shirt, which has been designed by Dan Peraro, the Bizarro comic strip creator.
Mm-hmm.
And then so for everyone else who still wants to register for the walk, the registration time starts at 11 a.m. that same day and costs $10. And we will have some extra non-designated T-shirts there with us for participants who are paying the $10 registration fee that they will be entitled to have for free if we have available. And so the Walk for Farm Animals helps to raise funds for farm sanctuaries, rescue, and protection campaigns. And last year there were 40 cities that hosted the walks, with over, I believe, 1,500 people who raised over $100,000 altogether for farm animals. And last year, Toronto ranked number 4 on the list of the top money earners, and I believe Toronto brought in $3,561.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty big.
So how does it work in terms of pledges? Like, how do we do this?
Oh, okay, well, you can go to the website. Actually, there's a direct website called www.walkforfarmanimals.org, and print off your own pledge form there. And I guess you could go, walkers can ask pledges from their neighbors, from colleagues, anyone they know that would probably give them a pledge for the walk. And then what they would do is they would bring their pledge forms with them along with their registration fee at the day of the walk.
Okay. And where do we get the pledge forms?
Oh, from that website. So you can download it. So if people go to www.walkforfarmanimals.org, there actually will be quite a bit of information there for all the walks that are being held worldwide. Actually, there are also walks being held in Ottawa, Montreal, and Vancouver this year.
Okay, great.
So they can just go to the direct Toronto link to read off the information about their Toronto walk and print off their walk pledge form.
Well, I'll just let people know, too, that Rob will post the information on the Animal Voices website as well.
Great.
So if people didn't catch some of that, you can check out our site, animalvoices.ca, and just check underneath the shows, and there'll be that information there. So I guess we're hoping to have more numbers and a greater amount of money this year.
I hope so, yes.
Do you have a sense of, is it going to be bigger, do you think, this year, just from the pre-registrations?
Well, I don't have a sense yet, because we did get we started off a little late because we're having difficulties booking our park permit this year.
Okay.
Unlike last year. But we do hope it's going to be, hope it's going to be a great day. It's a family-oriented, friendly, fun annual walk, so it's not to be a protest.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want people to know that it's not only to raise money to help protect farm animals, but we are also trying to create awareness in the public and just letting the public know that farm animals have feelings too.
And so how does it work in terms of, is it like a parade, and where are you walking and for how long?
Well, we'll be starting at our location, which is on Ashbridges Bay Picnic Area 2, just right down by the beach. So there's actually a restaurant next door called The Burger Joint. So we'll be meeting right there. And then at 12 o'clock, we're going to be walking north and heading up towards Queen Street East in the beaches, just because there'll be more visibility there.
Okay.
And people can bring their companion animals, but I do believe they have to be leashed to the walk as well. So we'll be walking up along Queen Street. Hopefully we'll have some animal costumes, like a pig costume and a chicken costume. So that'll even bring more visibility and attraction from passerby.
Okay. So have people in the past then had a chance to interact with other people that are just walking around in the area? Are people curious about what this walk is all about?
They are curious, and we do hand out educational literature on the walk with us. We're very pleasant and polite and friendly about it, but people walking by or looking at us, we do hand out literature, so that way then they do sort of, and we're holding up signs as well, signs, I believe some of them say farm animals have feelings too, and say no to foie gras, say no to veal crates, so we'll be very visible.
Okay, great. And so is there anything else that you wanted us to know?
Well, I guess I should just give you the contact information for Julie and myself.
Okay.
So people can get the information off the website, like I said, and print off their walk pledge forms. But they can also email Julie and myself at toronto@walkforfarmanimals.org.
Okay.
Or call me at 416-699-1107.
Super. And like I said, Holly, we can put that information on the website as well, so if people didn't catch it. Well, thanks. We look forward to seeing you at the walk.
Yay! Thank you, Lauren.
And I wish you a very successful organizing time. I know that this is there's always a lot of legwork that we don't see the organizers do, so I just wanted to say thanks for organizing this. It's a great event.
Thank you. Thanks for saying so.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on the program and doing the interview. I know you were a bit nervous about it.
Yes.
Well, it was great to have you on. Okay. We were just speaking with Holly Larson. She's one of the coordinators this year for the Toronto Walk for Farm Animals. We're going to take a short musical break. Come back with Marley Winkler in Brazil. Hello and welcome back to Animal Voices. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. We are now turning to our interview with Marley Winkler. I'm very excited about this interview. I will tell you right away, I'm extremely biased towards this guest. I think she's an amazing activist, and I'm just so delighted to have her on the program. I'll give you a bit of a bio on who Marley is. She's a sociologist and a translator from Brazil. She's been vegetarian since 1982 and vegan since 1994, and Winkler is the author of The Fundamentals of Vegetarianism and Vegetarianism Elements to a Conversation. She is a translator of more than 50 books, including Animal Liberation by Peter Singer and Becoming Vegetarian by Visanto Molina and Brenda Davis. She's the creator of the popular, I can't say this right, I'm going to ask her to do it, Sitio Vegetariano, vegetarian site, which is the first site on vegetarianism that was in Portuguese. And she's also the creator of some very successful discussion lists on vegetarianism, including Veg Brazil and Veg Latina. She is both the Latina America and Caribbean coordinator of the International Vegetarian Union and the president of the Brazilian Vegetarian Society. We are extremely happy to have her on the program today and wanted to welcome her warmly to the show. Marley, how are you doing?
Fine, and you, Laura?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much. It is a pleasure for me.
So where are we reaching you today?
I live in the very south of Brazil, in a city called Florianópolis.
Okay.
Which was the host of the last World Vegetarian Congress last year.
I saw the website. It looked like it was a beautiful time.
Yes, it was. It was very nice. It was the first time in Latin America that we had such a pleasure to host a big event.
How many people were at the World Vegetarian Congress then?
We had a very good numbers. We had 2,000 people.
Wow.
And from 35 different countries, so it was the best in all these near 100 years now.
Wow. So let's start off and hear a little bit more about you. I was really impressed by your credentials, all the wonderful work that you've done in Brazil, and I'm curious about why you became vegetarian in the 1980s.
Yes, well, I was introduced to vegetarianism by a boyfriend at
okay.
the time. He was just arrived from India, and he showed me the main reasons to want to become vegetarian, and then I found it very reasonable and become a vegetarian from night to day. And a curiosity, when my mother was pregnant of me, she was vegetarian also.
Wow. And then you became vegan in 1994. Why did you decide to go vegan?
Well, you know, the vegan style of life presents the main reason for that, because of the treatment to the animals, because they are confined and reared in appalling conditions. And this is a more or less new situation, about 30 years or so. The vegetarians didn't use these arguments before that.
Hmm.
And when I went to the vegan festival in San Diego in 94, I was introduced to all the things that happen in the treatment to the animals when they are reared in confinement and all that. Then I decided to become vegan.
And so you've been involved with vegetarian issues for a really long time. Tell us about some of the work that you've done. I gave a brief outline of some of the things that you've done, but I'm curious to hear more about what you've done in terms of vegetarianism and animal rights in Brazil. How have you been involved?
Well, normally when we are eating, the people ask why you are vegetarian, and they are eating meat. So I decided to write a booklet to answer this question and give to them, to have a material to give to them in this situation. And then I wrote a booklet explaining the main reasons to adopt a vegetarian diet. And from then on, I started, because of this booklet, who was passed from hand to hand, I was pulled up to the movement more and more. And then in 93, I went for the first time to a World Vegetarian Congress. It was in Poland, in the Hague. And then I started a connection with the international vegetarian movement. In 94, as I said, I attended the Vegan Festival in San Diego, California. Then I became vegan. In 98, I created the first vegetarian webpage in the internet, Sitio Vegetariano, which means vegetarian site, which is still very active and receive about 3,000 people every day. So it is a very big and dynamic page. I created also some discussion lists at the internet, Veg Brazil and Veg Latina, because I started to work in all over Latin America, in Spanish, of course, this list. And in 2000, I was appointed as a coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean of the International Vegetarian Union. I keep this role still. And in 2003, I founded, with other people, of course, the Brazilian Vegetarian Society. And last year, in 2004, we hosted the World Vegetarian Congress. Now we are working to construct the Latin American Vegetarian Union, and we are organizing the first Brazilian Vegetarian Congress and Latin America Vegetarian Congress, which will be in São Paulo next year.
I was going to ask you, how popular at this point is vegetarianism in Brazil?
As everywhere in Brazil, there are vegetarians spread all over the country, and we just need to put them together. And we expect that the vegetarians will grow a lot in the next years, because people, for one reason or another, are not eating it anymore.
Okay. Is that your dog in the background?
Yeah.
Barking. It's nice to hear from him or her. So is it at this point, although vegetarianism is growing where you are and in Brazil in general, would you say that it's difficult to be vegetarian where you are right now?
Well, it is not difficult to become vegetarian because, you see, we live in a tropical country. We have a wonderful abundance of vegetable fruits of every kind. The problem, I think, is the meat culture, which is ingrained in the habits of Brazilians, and as it is all over the world. And what we have to do is to work more, showing that this habit is not a sound habit, showing the implication for the health of people, the animals on the planet, of a meat-centered diet. So it is not difficult. The problem is that the meat-centered culture is very ingrained.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Do people, when they find out about vegetarianism, who aren't vegetarian, obviously, do they see that as being a threat to Brazilian culture at all? For example, when we had a woman on from Colombia, we talked a little bit about, various different cultural practices, bullfighting, etc. And she said that sometimes people feel anxious about vegetarianism because they think that they won't be able to participate in their culture the same way.
Yes. People normally, when we put a new thing to them, they react. So it's we face, of course, difficulties. As well, they have they feel threat, but the other people are waiting for these messages. So
right.
I think we just have to show it.
Right. So right now in Brazil, what kind of animal welfare legislation exists?
They have a lot of organizations of welfare animals, welfare animals. Now they are becoming more and more vegetarians, the leaders of it, and we are working together more and more also. And we have many developments in this sense. The vegetarian, the Brazilian Vegetarian Society, which was founded last year, is growing a lot. We have about 10 groups all over Brazil now, and we are all the time doing demos, food demos, and other talks and all that, and also rallies. Some time ago, I organized a rally with Sissi Hind of the Pretenders in Brasilia, and it was very, very success. The media, the TV, all the newspapers covered it. So we have a very good ground to work with.
And are there any laws that that exist to protect animals in Brazil?
Yes, we have. We have a very good legislation. The problem is that it is not applied. You see, some aspects of our law are very favorable to animals, especially the wild animals. The problem is that it's not applied. But the problem is not only the Brazilian problem. It's a world problem because these same animals, they are bought from abroad. So it's a world problem. We have to work as a world problem, not only a Brazilian problem.
And
most of the animals that are captured is sent to people abroad. And when are people ready to buy these animals, the people here will capture them. You see, most of them died in the way, and they are they suffer a lot. But I think we are improving. Last week, for instance, a district attorney demanded a habeas corpus to liberate a chimpanzee from jail, arguing that she was a person with sentiments and feelings similar to the human one. So we are improving.
That's great to hear. We're going to take a short break, Marley, and we're going to play some advertisements, and then we're going to come back and keep talking with you. So we want you to stay on the line.
Okay.
You're listening to Animal Voices, CIUT 89.5. We're speaking with Marley Winkler from Brazil and finding out about the vegetarian and animal rights movements there. We're going to take a short break. Here's some ads. Come back.
Welcome back to Animal Voices, 89.5 CIUT. Back to you, Lauren.
Hi there. We're speaking today with Marley Winkler, who is a sociologist and a translator from Brazil. And she's both a Latin American and Caribbean coordinator of the International Vegetarian Union, as well as the president of the Brazilian Vegetarian Society, as well as a whole host of other things. Before the break, we were talking about some of the laws that exist and some of the improvements that are happening in Brazil for farm animals. So I just wanted to welcome Marley back to the program. Hello, Marley.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for waiting.
For nothing.
So I wanted to ask you about factory farming in Brazil. Is factory farming very widespread?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, it is. We are, as you know, maybe now the first producers in the world of cattle, pigs, and chicken broilers, and also soy. Who consumes soy in Brazil? Apart from oil, very, very few people consume soy. So it is to rear animals and to export, to rear animals. 100% of the broiler chickens and pigs are reared in confinement conditions. So we have a very big problem in that. The cattle, most of it is still reared in liberty, but more and more they are keeping also in confinement because they think, they see that this brings some more money to them.
I think people in North America, when they think about Brazil and meat, they think about people cutting down the rainforest Is that still happening for animals in Brazil?
Oh, yes. Our rainforest is treated. It became treated, and it is a very big problem because they just cut out it to rear animals, cattle, and to cultivate soy. And this is the main source of destruction of the rainforest.
You said that the these factory farming techniques, this industrialization process, is something that's been happening over the past 30 years or so. This is kind of a new phenomenon.
Yes. First of that, they were reared not in cages and confinement, and the conditions was a little better. Now they are. Most of them, near 100%, are kept in confinement and in a piling condition.
Right.
To improve 1 cent, they do things unimaginable.
Have you been able to tour any of the factory farms in Brazil?
Yes, we are working hard to this. I've been visiting some of these factory farms also. I was part of a recent DVD that we did showing how the animals are treated and all that, and we saw with our eyes the conditions with which they are treated, and it's very, very bad.
So in terms of the conditions for farm animals in Brazil, how does Brazil compare to the rest of Latin America? Is it about the same in other countries?
Yes, I am in touch with other countries because I am in this role, and also I have this discussion list, Latin American discussion list, and I more or less know that the situation in other countries are similar to our one. But because Brazil is the main producer, so the volume of animals that are treated in this way here is much, much bigger, you see. And I think we are more advanced, if we can say so, advanced in the industrialization. So here they apply more of this technique to keep them in confinement with all these the consequences of this.
And so for animal rights activists in Brazil, are people concentrating mostly on farm animals? What happens to farm animals, or are people concentrating on other areas, other issues of abuse for animals as well?
Well, most of the animals are now concentrated in farming.
Okay.
Factories. But more and more, we are having also the other cultures. Of organic cultures, and families are growing vegetables and even animals that are treated in better conditions. And I think even if we have a lot of work to do, especially showing to the people that maybe sometimes they don't know what is behind it, certain.
Right.
So we have to do this.
Yeah, I think that's true in Canada as well, that a lot of people just don't know what factory farming is all about and the conditions that animals face. So I guess sometimes people are pretty surprised when they see one of the DVDs or if they hear about factory farming in Brazil.
Yes,
yeah.
And also they don't know this big impact to the environment of a meat-centered diet. They just don't connect the ideas. And, of course, these ideas are not available in the media and the newspapers and in the books. So we have to, our work is to show that this connection, to see that if you are eating meat, you are destructing the planet. And all the suffering that you are causing also, and everything. But mostly the environment impact, many people don't know.
And what about the government? Are they supportive? Is there anyone in any positions of power or in the government that supports what the vegetarian societies do?
We cannot say that the government is supporting. They are supporting this politics of rearing animals to the country consume and also to exportation.
Right.
Are they supporting? But we have some people in the government who are supporting us. We have a deputy who is a vegan one, and he help us in some ways. And some other two or three deputies also in the parliament. Now in São Paulo, we have a councilman who he was a judo world champion.
Right.
And he became a supporter of the animal rights recently. We have also a boxing world champion who is vegetarian. So we have some people. But most of the government, unfortunately, they are the reproducers of these policies.
Right, so hopefully that will change as well. Do you lobby the government at all, or do you mostly concentrate on raising awareness in the general population?
Yes, we try to lobby, especially through these deputies that we know. Now, for instance, we have a deputy who is trying to pass a law showing all the ingredients that we have in something we buy. This mm-hmm. will be nice because we will be able to know if there is some animal products inside the product and all that. We are, of course, just in the beginning of this fight, but we are improving.
Yeah, you've been involved for a really long time now. You've been involved with vegetarianism for over two decades. I'm wondering how things have changed just in the time that you've been involved.
I think, unfortunately, more animals are being reared in appalling conditions, but the movement is growing in this time, especially, I think, because of the Internet. This is a very, very good tool to us, who united vegetarians and is still putting them together. And then we can have a voice and force to face these big obstacles.
And so what do you think at this point are the biggest obstacles for making things better in Brazil for animals?
Well, the biggest problem is that the main forces that are in government, and they are meat eaters, and they believe in this style of way. Also, I think the habit, which is ingrained in the Arab culture, people eat meat, and they think that they have to do that. Also, we have prejudice from our doctors and nutritionists also. They study in schools where they teach that people need to eat meat. So we have to face these prejudices and show that the truth is not this. We don't need to eat meat.
Hmm.
And also, we don't need, and the meat is a very bad thing to people, to the health of people, to the animals, and to the planet. This is our fight.
And in terms of indigenous communities in Brazil, are there different perspectives on animal issues? Do they have a different perspective?
Yes. In the countryside, things are more difficult because the information are not available. So in places more urbanized and in big cities, we are starting to have groups organized and information is more available. Sometimes we have some interviews in newspapers and TV and all that. So we are having more space to spread our message. In the countryside, maybe it's difficult for them to get information, and things are worse there.
Yeah, because I was going to ask about that. If activists are relying heavily on the Internet right now, do most people in Brazil have access to the Internet?
Well, Brazil is one of the countries who the Internet is very popular. But, of course, because of the conditions of many, many people who cannot afford to have a computer, many people do not have this access. But many people who have influence in the opinion, they have a computer. So this is a very important tool for us.
And is the, I know there's probably many different types of traditional diets in Brazil, but is the traditional diet very meat-based, or is that something that has changed also in the past 30 years, that it's become more meat-based?
Yes, the traditional diet was, the staple diet was rice and beans. We have many kinds of beans, and this was a very good staple diet. Now, with the advance of TV and all these ready food, junk food and all this, the people are eating more and more industrialized food and food without very good nutrition. And so this have changed a lot in the last year.
Right. So moving away from a rice and beans diet for sure.
Yeah. Now they are eating noodles with white flour, so this has nothing inside, only It tackles the hungry, but it's not a nutrition diet.
And what about you, Marley? What kind of foods do you eat? Do you have a favorite Brazilian vegetarian meal that you make?
Well, I like very much beans.
You like beans?
Yes.
What kind of beans do you like?
Well, all kind of beans. I usually used to do all kinds of red beans, white beans, black beans, which is very popular in Brazil. And also, of course, I eat lentils and all kinds of grains. But I like very much beans.
How do you eat them? Do you eat them in soups or in a stew? Or how? What does a lot of Brazilian vegetarian food look like?
Well, Brazilians also are eating some soy products like tofu and all that, but not as many as the North America.
Right.
We have already protein from beans, which is the same which we can find in soy, so you don't need to eat a lot of soy. And many Brazilians eat every day beans, but also we have a big array of vegetables and fruits, marvelous fruits. And we do all kinds of plates with this food.
Do you have Brazilian vegetarian cookbooks then?
Cookbooks, yes. Yeah. I have many books.
Yeah. So what are some of the vegetables that are in season in Brazil?
Well, now we are just living the winter. Mm. So in the winter we don't have such a big offer of vegetables. But in any case, we have a lot of good vegetables, and we have also some roots as manioc, which is very very known in Brazil. Many people eat this manioc instead of potato, and well, we have many good plates.
Right. Are there any vegetarian restaurants in Brazil?
We have a lot.
Yeah?
Everywhere.
Yeah?
We have even vegan restaurants in Rio and São Paulo. And also here in Florianópolis, where I live, we have a vegan restaurant and a lot of vegetarian restaurants, even in small cities now in Brazil.
Mm.
And also, even if the restaurant is not vegetarian, normally there is a big buffet of salads and all kinds of beans and rice and all these foods that vegetarian can eat. And also, of course, a lot of meat, but a vegetarian can eat in these restaurants as well with a big offer of vegetarian food.
Right. So we've talked a lot about vegetarianism and factory farming, but we haven't talked very much about animals in other places, other industries. Are there lots of zoos or lots of animal experimentation that's happening in Brazil right now? I think in North America, animal rights activists tend to focus on either factory farming, so agricultural issues, or on animal experimentation. They're sort of the two big ones. And I'm wondering if animal rights activists in Brazil also look at animal experimentation, or if people mostly just concentrate on factory farming and slaughterhouses.
Yeah, many people are concentrating on farming.
On farming, mostly.
Industry, yes, of course. Here in the state where I live, Santa Catarina, is the main producer of broiler chicken and pigs, and many people work in this industry. But the thing is that the families do not own this industry. This industry is in the hand of a few people who live in the city, and they just go and explore the families who have to work day and night to rear the pigs and chickens in the conditions that these industrialized people ask for them. And normally they don't have a good money for that. Only the industry is profiting in this. So this is a very big problem also.
Yeah, the working conditions in North America are very bad for people who work in the meat industry as well. So it sounds similar in Brazil. It's not good jobs.
No, it is not. And the people cannot stay for many time working in these industries, and they change a lot.
Yeah.
And there are many violence in the areas where they rear animals and all that.
Violence to each other or violence to the animals?
With the animals, and they put this violence that they face every day in their work, they put to the people as well.
Hmm. So now, being involved in the movement for over two decades, do you have hope then for Brazil and making positive changes?
Yes, I see the future with hope. And also, I used to say that if there is a future, this future will be more and more vegetarian, because it's not possible to stay practicing this destruction of the nature and treating animals like we are doing now. So humanity will have to face this question. And I think nature will give us an answer, showing us that this is wrong. The way we are treating animals, with all these flu that is and diseases which are attacking the animals and all that.
Right. So we're going to have to change even if we don't want to.
Yes, I think so.
Right.
Of course, the politics plays a very important role also, but I think the nature will show us that we are wrong.
Marley, I wanted to thank you for being on the program today.
I thank you, Lauren.
And we have information about some of your websites on our website now, so people can find out more about the work that you've done and about the Vegetarian Society of Brazil.
Okay.
And it was really nice to talk to you today, and best of luck with your continued activism.
It was my pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, you've been listening to Animal Voices, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Lauren Corman. Lamia has been teching. We were just speaking with Marley Winkler, and she's a sociologist and a translator from Brazil, and she's the president of the Brazilian Vegetarian Society, as well as the Latin American and Caribbean coordinator of the International Vegetarian Union, and a whole bunch of other different positions as well. You can check out some of the links to those sites on our website, animalvoices.ca. There's some beautiful pictures from the 36th World Vegetarian Congress in Brazil. If you'd like to see those, that link is also posted on our website, animalvoices.ca. We encourage any feedback from our listeners. We always read our mail, even though we're sometimes a little slow getting back to people, but if you have suggestions for upcoming guests or ideas for topics, write us at animalvoices@ciut.fm. I want to thank Lamia for teching, and stay tuned for Roadrunner.